Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie.
And I'm Art Malin.
And welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have reports from Bob Schuster down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And then we've also got Desmond Bennett in here, and fishing guide Tim Duffy, and also fishing guide Eric Tuohy. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Are you ready to ride? During the Ready to Ride event at Hayward Power Sports, take home a Can-Am Defender side-by-side starting at just $10,399 after a $1,000 rebate. Perfect for working in the woods, ruling the farmland, leading the hunt, or taking for a trail ride. Defender side-by-sides boast heavy-duty Rotax engines. Get a comfortable ride with pickup-inspired seating and suspension to tame the roughest terrain. With a 1,000-pound cargo box capacity and 2,000-pound towing capacity, there's no job too daunting. Add in the different models, color, and accessory options, and you will have a Can-Am side-by-side unique to your needs. With over 500 miles of trails to ride in Sawyer County alone, many have discovered the thrill of family and group rides. So join in on all the fun and don't get left behind. Can-Am, the ride says it all. Check them out today at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77, or on the web at haywardpowersports.com.
Offer ends July 5th, 2018. Certain restrictions apply. Subject to credit approval. See dealer for details.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop in for their great lunch menu, and you can enjoy your lunch right out on their deck. Lynn's also has fresh cut-to-order steaks, as well as a great selection of brats and sausages for those great summer cookouts. Lynn's also has a variety of snack sticks, jerky, cheese curds, and much, much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30, Saturdays 9 to 4, and Sundays 10 to 3. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward. Big fish stories come to life at the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame. The world's largest shrine to freshwater anglers boasts a 4.5-story tall walk-through muskie that's a half a city block long. It's like taking a peek into Granddad's old tackle box with thousands of mounted fish, antique outboard motors, and historical sport fishing artifacts. Stop in and take a chance on the 2018 $18,000 Lumacraft boat powered by a 50-horse Mercury outboard sponsored by John's Motorsports of Hayward. See the big ones that didn't get away at the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, Highways 27 and B in Hayward. Open daily from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and we've got actually Art's in here with me, and we got Desmond in here helping today, and we got Mr. Bob Schuster. And good morning, everyone.
Morning, morning,
morning.
Good morning.
And Bob, let's start off with you as far as the reports. What's going on as far as the fishing out there?
Fishing the last week has been pretty fantastic. Great catches of panfish. Bass action's been good, both smallmouth and largemouth. Pike action's been pretty good, and muskie has been good as well.
You know, I've had reports that it's a little bit more spotty, though, because you got to watch where the bugs are hatching, because, you know, there has been some big bug hatches, but now as we're speaking here, I'm seeing that starting to taper down.
Yeah, it is, and our weather patterns kind of stabilized, so I think the fishing in that regard has been good or better because of that.
Nelson Lake has been good. The fish are running a little larger this year. The thing that I'm noticing on LCO, which I haven't noticed before, the bluegills are spawning in a place that maybe the last 4 years, 5 years, that they never spawned before. And part of that reason, I think, is because the East Cranberry Bog doesn't run water in and out anymore because they built a pond for holding. And the natural weeds are growing there. And that there's not all these weeds that die, you know, come die, and there's muck buildup. It's sandy 10, 15, 20 feet out. And I'm throwing back 9.5-inch bluegills.
Awesome.
Bob, I was going to ask you here, how about the muskies? I mean, I'm getting mixed reports on that.
I am as well, but talking with Steve Jensen, he's been raising some. Bucktails seem to be working the best along with suckers.
Yeah, you know, and it seems more the small lakes. I did my first muskie guide trip here the other day as we're speaking here. Yep.
And it was kind of the kid, it was an 18-year-old kid. He got his first, second, and third muskie all in the same time.
That's pretty awesome.
But that was one of the small lakes. And Desmond, I know you've been out there, not the last couple of days, but what did you hear out there and see?
What I've been hearing, especially on the flow edge, you know, with regard to the muskie, people are starting to see them, but there have only been a couple raised. So
yeah, I know, and I heard that same thing around Lake. I mean, guys are seeing them everywhere they went. They're following and looking, but not biting.
Right. You know, I think what Bob said earlier, the weather patterns, everything's just starting to stabilize. So people are finally knowing what to expect once they get out there.
I think the fish are, too. They were kind of maybe mixed up there for a while.
Yeah, along with the bughats. But interesting, Art said that Nelson Lake, I believe you were talking about walleyes out there. And out on the flowage and a number of the lakes where the lake associations and walleyes for Northwest Wisconsin have planted or stocked walleyes, there are some really good reports coming from those bodies of water.
Yeah, I was getting lots of them the other night, but they were all running 13 to 14 and a half inches.
That's great fish for the future.
Yep. You can't beat that when you think about it. And
no. And
the program that the governor started, in which they're putting a ton of advanced, you know, they're not fingerlings, they're 12
extended growth
fish. That's really been successful in the flowage.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah, let's hope that keeps up. Well, Bob, I know I want to thank you for coming on here. Anybody that's looking for stuff, the shop is going full tilt right now.
Yeah, for sure. Stop in. We got a great staff, knowledgeable. They fish. And they'll be more than happy to help you out.
And, you know, when the guys are looking for a summer muskies, there's, over 90 feet of muskie lures hanging on the wall?
Yeah, about that.
Bob, thanks a lot.
Steve's trying to grow that a little bigger, but I'm going to stop him. Hey, thanks, John. Thanks, Art. Thanks,
Desmond. And, Art, I know you got a couple of little things there real quick.
Well, the thing that really is concerning me is that the Wisconsin Conservation Congress made a huge change. Now, at our annual meetings in April, you can go there and pick up a code, a county code, and leave, take your information, and vote online, which is kind of nice. I like that. However, other people can vote, too, online without the county code. And that's the thing that bothers me a little bit. Their votes will be tallied as a statewide vote, not a county vote. Very interesting. We'll see what's going to happen. I'm not for it myself. The other thing, John, is that 32 of the 36 advisory questions that were presented at our spring meeting this year were passed on to the DNR.
Wow.
And now that includes the guide fee.
Ooh, ouch. I let's hope it doesn't go. I know there's some of the politicians that don't like it at all.
Well, there should be.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Anyway, I know, Desmond, we're going to talk to you a little bit here later in the show about picking a kayak and maybe if people want to get out on small water, but we'll get that to the back of the show.
Absolutely.
You know, we're going to take a break right now and hear from some of our fine sponsors. They come back, we've got an interview with fishing guide Tim Duffy talking about this summer, the summer fishing, some great tips, so stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages.
Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one stop for the Hayward area's largest selection of rods, reels, lures, fishing electronics, boating supplies, and they've now expanded their selection of soft plastic bass and walleye baits. No matter what you're fishing for, at Hayward Bait and Bottle, you'll find everything you'll need for a successful season. And while you're there, in their bottle shop, you'll find a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. And also don't forget, now they carry Shoremaster docks, lifts, and accessories at Hayward Bait and Bottle.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin, welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Finally, fish in a Lund from Hayward Power Sports. Lund boats are built by fishermen for fishermen. Catch your limit in a fully loaded 2018 Lund 1675 Impact SS for just $27,570. That's more than $6,000 under the MSRP. Lund's meticulous design is a perfect balance of strength and performance. Enjoy boating's best warranty with 3 years of bow to stern coverage and lifetime hull coverage. Plus, it's transferable, adding to the excellent resale value. Get your lund at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control. A day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, call myself, John Myrie, at 715-462-9402 or Art Malin at 715-865-2336, or you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and co-host Art Millen. We've got Desmond Bennett in here as well today. And Art, I know Tim is out there a lot. He's you know, trying to figure out all the angles to catch fish when the fishing, even when it gets tough.
Yeah, and he's working on it, and he's doing some things that I have never heard of.
Sometimes he comes up with some different unique ideas. But anyway, let's hear what he has to say about this summer and the summer fishing, some good tips. Well, Tim, you know, when we get into summer period like we are right now and we start to see a lot of bug hatches going on in the lakes and a lot of minnows out there, just like this year, it seems to be there's food out there, lots of it for these fish.
There is a lot of food out there. And you know, we talk about this every year. All of our lakes always have food in them, but this year seems to be just an exceptional amount of it out there. Minnows, and you got your bug catches now with the mayflies, just about dragonflies, just about everything's hatching out of the water right now.
You know, and when you sit there and try to, you know, slow, like a slip bobber presentation, or you're jigging real slow, you're trying to get a fish to eat something. Sometimes, you know, lures that are moving and doing things that produce better.
Yeah, definitely. The weird thing about this year is that every fish that we've caught, doesn't matter if it's northern, bass, walleye, whatever, they all will hit the bobber or the lightest bite where normally a northern's going to hit it and just slam it and go. Just very light, finicky bites, and you can't even tell what type of fish it is until you set the hook and feel how heavy it is.
The fish have been around the weeds too, though, and you know, usually we start to see a lot of fish leaving the weeds, but I think that they'll be in the weeds for quite some time.
Yeah, and the lakes I'm fishing, a lot of fish in shallow water, shallow weeds, 7 foot, 8 foot, once in a while out to the 10, but for this time of year, a lot of fish still shallow.
And it seems like some areas, and this is true of any summer, you'll find some areas you'll find fish in, and other areas there's nothing there, or you can catch anyhow.
You know, and normally, like on any given lake, you could, let's say, grindstone. Or, you know, you got a handful of spots, and if you get the depth figured out, the structure figured out, you could probably catch fish on every one of those. But you're right, we'll hit 20 spots, and you won't get a bite, you won't get a nibble, nothing, and then all of a sudden you hit one spot. You'll take five or six casts, and you'll get a fish every time, and they'll be mixed. Every fish is there, northerns, bass, walleye, muskie, all packed into these certain areas, and I don't know if it's the food thing, or, but it's usually, most of the stuff's been weeds, shallower water, and all the species will be kind of in those areas.
I think it's the food thing, and you know, it has a lot to do with bug hatches, because I could think of one time I was up in Canada on Lake of the Woods, and nobody was catching walleyes, and the lodge owner wanted me to go catch some walleyes, and I couldn't catch anything in the morning. And then I remembered I spot that just as I came in for lunch, I'd seen some bug larvae coming out of the bottom in that one area. I got into it, and I looked, and I could mark fish in that bug larvae moving. I couldn't catch one. I couldn't unhook them fast enough. I mean, it was unreal. And I think when you get a bug hatch happening, it don't happen throughout the whole lake sometimes. In certain areas, things come up. And somehow these fish know it, and they just get in that area. And those are the fish that are active. Maybe there's fish in the other areas, but they're not active.
Yeah, and I mean, the other thing is that you could fish one spot one day and get a bunch of fish, go back there the next day, and you don't get the fish. Mm-hmm. But I remember, you know, they say when the mayfly hatch is going on, fishing's awful. And sometimes it is. But I can remember fishing on grindstone after dark. Mayflies were so thick that when I shot back my boat, I smelt this smell, and it was all the mayflies in the shot back that stunk like a dying animal. Well, here, so the mayflies would pop up, they're all over your boat, you'd see the mayflies, you'd see the perch and the small fish eating the mayflies, and behind, underneath those, were the walleyes. And we're talking 3 foot of water casting Rapalas, and we would pound them on the lures. And you could hear the bubbling of the fish, and everybody thinks it's the walleyes, which they might eat some, but they were eating the fish that were eating the mayflies. And
you know, I always say there's two ways to catch most fish. I mean, one, you could sit and wait for them to eat something, which is like sitting with a slip bobber on your favorite bar or hump or something, or you can try to get them to aggressively attack something. And that mostly is things like spinners and Rapalas and stuff. And I sometimes think that may be a more productive way of fishing in the summertime when you got a ton of food. And sometimes something a little bit different makes a difference.
Yeah, that's true. And here, I've talked to a number of different guides, and they said no matter what you're fishing for, if that bait's not moving, we guys call it the slow rolling or trolling, snapping it, something like, if it's not moving, they just don't want it. So I think that's you trying to trigger them into hitting it. So,
yeah.
Crappies, you throw the bobber out there, it'll sit there, and if there's two guys in the boat slow rolling it in, they'll catch 10 fish to one over the guy that doesn't do that.
It's moving, you know, and I think too that it matters what type of lure sometimes, because I've seen where I'm throwing a beetle spin, for instance, and the beetle spin, I'll use crawlers on it, I'll use leeches on it, I'll use minnows on it, and the minute I switch to something like a white Berkeley power grub twister tail, boom, 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 we're getting fish, because it's something different in the water from them.
And you know, normally I like the power bait, you know, the little minnows.
Gulp baits.
Yeah. So I mean, normally we're using those, and they catch a lot of fish on them. This year, it just seems to be live bait on some presentation, like the jig with the spinner blade, and it's got to be moving. So when they grab it, they can maybe taste it. But normally, I'd prefer to use the gulp. So or the what power bait or gulp?
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that's just been the case. And here, the other thing is, the fish are hitting big stuff.
Yeah.
Crappies, you normally using little bee stuff, they're hitting fathead minnows on this setup that, you know, with the thumper jig with a 3/8 ounce.
On a bobber,
slow rolling it. The walleyes, normally I'm using fatheads. We're using northern suckers. And it's kind of tricky because they'll hit it, but then you got to time, you know, when to set the hook, give them time to eat it. But yeah, the big baits for all the species.
But you know what you said about the bait versus the like the gulp minnows or something, that's interesting, because I'm throwing a lot of, I'm fishing the Chippewa flowage or other lakes. I'm using maybe a minnow on a spinner jig or on a spinner type thing, or a leech or crawler. But I remember one day here just a week ago where the lady in the boat, she switched to a white twister tail, she started catching fish. We couldn't catch them on the live bait.
And I think on a given day,
different lakes,
you know, finish. And so I always will try it, but I just know recently it's been kind of big stuff with whatever you're going after, and it has to be, and we're still using minnows. Guys are going, using minnows now? It's like, yeah, because I'm not hitting anything on crawlers or the leeches. And even like your little bitty fish, if you throw, you know, perch and stuff, you should be able to feel them tapping your bait, even if they can't eat it, if it's too big. You don't, it'll be dead. You don't feel anything, you know? Just kind of strange.
I think people tell them just keep moving. I mean, move a lot, look, use your electronics, because that electronics is so good nowadays. You can see what's going on and pay attention. You see bug hatch in an area, just look and keep moving.
The big thing was that when we were fishing, you know, this lake I had for 2 days, we saw, the clouds of minnows, the bug catches. It didn't really, actually we were on the south shorelines. That's we're normally we fish on the north shorelines. But there was minnows and stuff, it all looked good. But we just kept moving, and then all of a sudden you find a spot, and it was like all the fish were packed in there.
That's typical of most time in the summertime once you get into summer.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because we had those warm temperatures. Now we got a lot of lakes, either they're in the low 60s of the clear water, big lakes, or, you know, 68, 69.
69, 70. I've seen 72 on the flowage.
Yeah, that's prime water for catching a lot of the fish right now.
You bet. So. Well, Tim, you want to give out your guide information? Somebody might be interested in looking for a guide.
Yeah, they can get a hold of me at 715-634-5100.
And we kind of work together sometimes, so if we got a group and we need more than one guide, we can handle that too.
Yeah, me and Big John work together. We can handle anything.
Thanks a lot, Tim.
Thanks, John.
Well, as usual, Tim's always interesting and fun to fish with too, by the way. Anyway, we do need to take another break and hear from more of our fine sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to Desmond here, and maybe we'll have some other tips in here on maybe fly fishing too.
Check out OC Outfitters for all your fishing, hunting, and camping needs this year. They're ready to get you out on the lake with everything from rods and reels to licenses and live bait. Come see their Columbia clothing for men, women, and children. They have a full line of shirts, rain gear, shorts, and jackets, and they have new rifles, shotguns, and handguns to choose from. New this season, a propane filling station. That's OC Outfitters, 4 miles east of Hayward on Highway B, open 7 days a week. Phone 715-634-1044.
The most common bills you can't prepare for are vehicle repairs and medical expenses. Quick Check in Hayward is here to help when you're a little short. Get the cash you need today when the unexpected happens between paydays. Keep your utilities on. Avoid late fees and overdraft charges. When there's too much month at the end of your money, Quick Check is the safe, secure, and easy way to get you the emergency funds you need. Quick Check, next to Hayward Bait and Tackle. 715-634-9753.
Pet owners, if there's a word better than inexpensive, it's free. Hayward Animal Hospital has always offered a free wellness exam with the vaccination of your pet. Your cat or dog will be given the highest quality and most comprehensive vaccines available to ensure continued protection against a variety of diseases with no hidden exam fees. The next time your pet needs vaccinations, consider a free wellness exam and Dr. Ostrander's over 30 years of experience. Hayward Animal Hospital is located on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
Are you in need of marine service? If so, call Earl's Marine, located on County K between the Big Lakes. Earl's Marine is a local Johnson Avenue authorized sales and service representative. Need a boat lift? Earl's Marine handles shore station. Need a boat or a pontoon for a few days? Just call for rental information. Since 1966, Earl's Marine has provided outstanding marine service to this area. For outstanding service, open 7 days a week for sales with a mechanic on duty Monday through Friday. Call Earl's Marine today at 715-634-4783.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and helping out co-host today is Desmond Bennett, along with Art Malin, is always on here. And Art, you know, let's jump into this fly fishing thing quick. You know, fly fishing for muskies is not a new thing in fly fishing in general on the lakes, but it's starting to be more popular.
Fly fishing started about 1320.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Yeah. Yeah, you bet. Well, let's hear what fishing guide Eric Tuohy had to say about that, and we'll come back with some more interesting things. Eric, you know, when it comes to muskie fishing, I've seen a resurgence kind of in fly fishing for muskies. Some people want to think they've reinvented it, but it's been around a long time. And yep, those fish are actually pretty susceptible to eating flies.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing to see some of our creative anglers tying different flies, and you know, they're engineered. They're made to swim in a fashion almost like a glide bait for some, and how they move. We may incorporate rattles or something in there to put out a little noise into the water as well. But these fish aren't seeing them on a daily basis, you know. As well as the suic fishes, you think of how many years that suic's gone over a fish's head. So this is something that's new for these fish. It's we're trying to push a lot of water, and so that does create some. We're putting off a big silhouette. There's a lot of unique things, but there has been a big turn in the fly fishing community where more guys are wanting to seek out these apex predator fish.
You know, sometimes their flies are 10, 12 inches long. They're big flies.
Yeah, they are big flies, and sometimes it's all part of the time of the year and what we might try and use, or matching a bait fish of some sort, you know. But yeah, they tend to get bigger and bigger, it seems like, every year. And as long as our equipment can handle it and you as an angler can handle it, you know, you can throw it. So,
yeah, 10 weight fly rods.
Yeah, so for muskie, 10 weight is a good general rod. It's a good all-purpose, you know, because you can throw some bigger flies, you can get away with throwing some smaller stuff too. The biggest thing is actually the fight in the fish. So we don't want to overly stress a fish by any means. So fighting that fish
properly and adequately and getting it into the net. You know, just like in gear, we're not going out there with ultralights. It happens, but we're not targeting those fish with the white lightweight rods. So even some of these rods that are, there's some kind of in between, like 11 weight, even 12 weights, you know, which are really getting up there to, you know, kind of a cannon. And but you know, those we try to lend towards bigger flies, bigger lines, where we may need to get a fly deep in the water column.
Interesting stuff. You want to give out your information? Somebody wants to try a shot at a muskie on a fly?
Oh, absolutely, John. They can reach me at 612-384-9127.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Well, that was interesting, and right now I want to talk to Desmond a little bit. You know, right along with that, you talk about river fishing, is kayaks, and kayaks are getting to be more popular now. It's a different experience fishing out of a kayak than it is fishing from a canoe, isn't it?
Absolutely. As a kayak, or in a kayak, you're right there in the water. You're really one with the entire process of fishing. So the rig that you're in is going to be especially important. And you think buying a kayak might be simple, but there are actually quite a few things that you're going to need to consider.
You bet. Okay, what are some of those things?
The first thing is whether you want a sit-on kayak or a sit-in kayak. The sit-on kayaks tend to provide a little bit more stability, but if you're not so much comfortable being out there on the water like that, you might like starting off with a sit-in. That kind of goes to, are you just going to fish out of this kayak, or are you going to use it for, you know, going out on the lake when you got some family over? Those kind of things are going to guide your decision there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I like the sit-on kind because they're easier to get in and out. If you happen to wear waders and you're in the river, you can just sit down and turn your leg sideways in other than trying to get into it.
Absolutely. And a lot of the sit-on kayaks, not all, but a lot of them provide the stand and fish capability. So you can be in a kayak and still stand up to get a real good cast or to set the hook a little bit harder than you might be able to in a sit-on kayak.
What are some of the other things you want to look at too?
Propulsion's a big thing. You know, kayaks are generally propelled by your arms in a paddle, but once you're talking about fishing, covering greater distances, being able to control your boat while you're reeling in a catch, propulsion becomes important. And there's a lot of pedal model kayaks out there, and there's a lot of kayaks that are adding, you know, a small engine or a trolling motor to it.
Yeah. Do you want a longer kayak or a shorter kayak?
That depends on what you're looking for. The longer a kayak is, the faster it's going to go, but it's going to be a little harder to maneuver side to side, and you're going to lose some of that ability to get back into the smaller areas that you've got with a shorter, say, 10, 12-foot kayak.
And surprisingly, they're stable, even though they're not that wide, but width does make a difference, too.
Width does absolutely make a difference. You know, there's a reason that racing kayaks are really skinny and fishing kayaks are really wide. It's not the only thing that determines how stable a kayak is, but it's a big part of it.
You know, what are a couple other things that a person wants to look at? I know one of the things that always impressed me on a kayak is some of the new seating things that are in them. They're comfortable, and you want to be comfortable if you're going to be out there making the river trip. You're going to be sitting for 4, 5, 6 hours.
Absolutely. You know, some of the more basic lines of kayaks start off with just a molded-in seat. That's still what I fish with. But the newer ones, some of the more top-of-the-line kayaks have kind of adjustable lawn chair seating that provide excellent back support and really make a day on the water a little more doable.
I know you can add a lot of stuff to those things too, Art. You can put depth finders on them and rod holders, and I mean, you can rig them up like a basketball. There's going to be a lot of that out there.
I think that's true. The only thing that a lot of people are concerned about is how do they deal with waves.
Actually, they do pretty good because they use them in salt water a lot.
They do. You know, my first kayak trip out, I was in a little 8-foot boat and 3-foot waves. And once you get used to it, you go with it. Those things are a lot harder to roll than you might expect.
Well, it's interesting stuff. And I know, Desmond, we're going to get a real good report on you on some Canadian fishing in a couple of weeks there, another week or so. I know, Art, you got a couple things last year.
You know, the thing that I'm really I was interested in, this is in Chippewa County. 10 people were busted for killing deer during season, but at night. And 9 of the 10 people were juveniles. And they got a real problem down there. They shot over 15 deer and possibly killed 60. That is a bad deal. It's unfortunate. A bloomer man and these kids are facing charges. That's
it's terrible to see something like that.
It sure is. And, you know, from what I heard, so much of what happened went to waste. It's just, it's awful all around.
Yeah, you bet. Well, you know, we're running close on time here. You want to get out there and fish, people, because it's going to be the summer is way too short, I think. I mean, we say about the seasons of being short, the fall is short, but the summer is also pretty short, especially as you get older.
This one especially is going to be short because there was ice in the water when it opened, when the season opened.
Well, Desmond, I want to thank you for coming in here, and I hope you take good notes up there in Canada.
Thanks, John. Thanks, Art. I'm really looking forward to it.
And Art, we're out of time. I want to remind folks that if you miss a show, you can get that show on our website at WNOradio.net. We podcast it every week. We also put it up on a YouTube page. There will be a lot of interesting things coming up there. So, you know, log on to our website, check it out. We'll be back again next week.
Take a youngster fishing. You'll have a ball.
Listen with me, I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.